Good morning and a warm welcome to our worship service today, and also a warm welcome to any of you who are listening online. My prayer for us all today is that we will encounter the richness and the goodness and the love of our God during our worship today. If you don't know me, and particularly those listening online, my name's Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints, and it's good to have you with us. Now today we start a new series, a teaching series, How to Unhurry and Living a Life at God's Pace and Not Our Own. So a very timely focus on how we do life in this season, and Dave is going to be teaching into that and setting us up for that series later in our service. And the idea is just to give you a little bit of that as we go into the service. We've obviously continued to journey a difficult week as a church community, and we continue to stand with the Powell family, and we'll be praying for them again later in the service. But let us remember that we have a great and good God who is with us and is our rock and our saviour, even in these uncertain occasions in life when we hit these very difficult moments. So let me read Psalm 46. Can I invite you to stand? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. But be still and know that I am God. I will exult among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so please remain standing, or do sit.
Silence of eternity in supper. strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace, the beauty of thy peace.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. And as God's people we have gathered, let us worship him together. Please take a seat. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sin in penitence and faith. So let us say together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct with what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, and confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we have two readings today. The first from John 15, verses 5 to 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And the second reading comes from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dave.
Good morning, and
hello to all those online too. Let's begin with prayer, shall we? And we just heard that song, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, and the lovely phrase in there, I can't quite remember, it's either gracious calling or the gentle calling of the Lord. But let's just dwell on that for a moment. And Lord, we invite you to call us graciously and gently into something new this morning and in these coming weeks. Amen. So as Peter has said, we're looking at a new series today, How to Unhurry. I've made up that word, yes. Learning to live at God's pace. And it really follows this book, which some of you I know have got hold of, and if you haven't, I really encourage you to get a copy, which is really the Christian book of the year at the moment, I think, and so key for this moment in time, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. And actually, the title of this book comes from a quote from Dallas Willard, who is an American philosopher and a spiritual advisor. And he was mentoring another person, another writer you might have heard of, called John Ortberg, one day several years ago. And Ortberg asked him, "What do I need to become the me I want to be?" And I think really behind that question too was that question of how do we become the me that God wants us to be? I think I prefer that way of saying it rather than the me that I want to be. It's the me that God wants us to be. And after a long silence, Dallas Willard simply said this. He said, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. There is nothing else. That is it." And from that conversation has spawned this book. Now, I wonder how you relate to this. Now, some of you will think, yes, I really relate to that. My life feels a hurry and a rush, and I just seem to live in a constant flow of stuff to do. There may be others of you who are sitting there thinking, that's exactly the opposite of my life. I don't live in a rush, especially in the middle of a pandemic where actually so much of my stuff has been taken away. But I want to say, whoever you are, whether your life is hurried or not, I think actually this book does much more than teach us how to unhurry. It teaches us to come back to the way of Jesus, to come back to the lifestyle that Jesus calls us to do, a lifestyle which, if we really practice it, and it's going to be really practical, it will transform our lives, whoever we are, and help us to live the life that God has called each of one us to be. And I think this book is a real gift. I think it's an invitation from Jesus, a gracious, gentle invitation from Jesus at this time, to come and live differently. To live not as the world tells us to live, but to live as he invites us to, with an easy yoke, as we heard from that Matthew reading. John Ortberg, who I referred to earlier, wrote in his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, he wrote this: "For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them." Are we, in our rushing and busyness of 21st century life, so distracted that we're settling for a mediocre life and a mediocre faith, and we haven't even realized it? I wonder if you connect with these words. I certainly do. And even as I wrote this sermon, I found myself in a hurry. With everything else that's happened recently, I knew I was under pressure. I only had a certain amount of time to do it. I actually finished it about an hour ago, which is not like me. And I found myself preoccupied with all that was going on around me. And at this point, when I got to this point in the sermon, I felt God stop me in my tracks and say, stop and pray and listen to me. And as I did that, what I sensed him saying for me and for each one of us is this. I'm calling you back. I'm using this difficult time of COVID to invite you to step off the consumer conveyor belts and live life counterculturally again. I'm calling you back to living my way, a way which is an easier yoke, a way which will bring rest for your soul and life in all its fullness. Let's just pause before rushing on. And just in the quiet, allow God to speak to you. And perhaps even let some of that, if you feel it's relevant for you, sink in. Jesus says, come back. Come back to my way of life, to my easy yoke. So I want to ask the question, where have we then gone wrong? How have we drifted so far from the life that Jesus calls us to? How have we allowed modern culture so often to distract us from the way of Jesus? Well, I think this strange season is a call for us to look at how we're living, an opportunity to be honest with ourselves about the subtle influences on all of us, which can lead us away from God. I read in this book, it says that, you know, the average iPhone user touches his or her phone 2,617 times a day. And I think those of us who can't afford iPhones too are probably quite similar. And John Mark Comer says, he says this after that. He says, what would my life be like if God touched my mind as frequently as I touch my phone? Alongside that, what influence are social media and personalised news broadcasts having on our minds and our souls? There's a programme at the moment on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. It's a documentary which interviews former employees of Google and other internet giants and is described as exploring the dangerous human impact of social networking, with tech experts sounding the alarm on their own creations. I watched it with Alice a couple of weeks ago, and quite frankly, we were both shocked and quite scared at what that showed. Finding that actually, for the first time, our news feeds, mine and Alice's, when I compared our phones, were not the same, because they were personalised according to what we were searching for. I asked her, why don't you have the Premiership Football League match results coming up first on your newsfeed? She says, I've never seen them. But that's what's happening. That's what's happening with social media, and it's scary. And what about the priorities that modern culture promotes? Are we so on the achievement-driven, career-driven, materialism-driven roller coaster that we've totally lost sight of God's ways, of his priorities and his calling for us? And I even want to suggest that as a church, I think I'm going to hold up my hand and say I think we've often got our priorities wrong too. And for that, I want to offer my apology to you. As I think at times we've got so sucked into the church consumer game, and perhaps out of really good intentions and want to serve so many people, that perhaps we've been so busy sometimes doing ministry that we've missed out on what's most important: encountering and worshipping Jesus and living the light yoke that Jesus calls us to. I could go on and on about other things. But this book by John Mark Comer, I think, is a prophetic call for our time. I think it highlights that something is wrong And I think it's taken a global pandemic for many of us to realise that. And maybe even the tragic events that we've journeyed through as a church in the last week have highlighted this even more to us. But as I said, this book is a gift. It's a gracious invitation for us to take action and live differently. You see, for this book, I think points us back to this book, which points us to Jesus and the life that he calls us to live. For the way of Jesus was not a way of hurry, was it? Far from it. Just think of some of the stories of Jesus for a moment. Can you think of any stories of Jesus where we see him in a hurry? See, when Lazarus was sick, Jesus didn't even rush to him. When Lazarus had died, when Lazarus was sick, he didn't even rush to him. He waited, we're told, 2 more days where he was. But he still brought Lazarus back to life. When Jairus' daughter was ill they were at him to say, Jesus, come and help us. When he was at the point, Jairus' daughter was at the point of death, Jesus lets him get interrupted by the woman with the chronic health condition. And hang on a minute, let's just face it. She had had it for 12 years. Couldn't she have waited another 24 hours? But no, Jesus deals with her in an unrushed way at that moment. And he still went and healed Jairus' daughter in his time, in his way. Jesus waited 3 decades to preach his first sermon. But he still had the most powerful ministry of all time. Straight after his baptism, what did he do? He didn't dive into doing stuff for ministry, did he? But he went out into the wilderness for 40 days to pray. You see, the solution to a life of hurry, as Comer outlines in his book, is not to find more time to do all the extra things we don't have time to do. No, far from it. We would never find the time to fit in everything we wanted to. No, the solution is to return to the way of Jesus, to practice the way of Jesus, to be transformed by learning to live the way of Jesus again. Jesus has given us his model. He's offered us his yoke to share. He says to each one of us, walk with me. Walk, not run. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And that journey starts by learning to be with Jesus, learning to abide in him. That's what we had in our passage from John 15, wasn't it? It's a well-known passage. The vine and the branches. Jesus, the vine, we are the branches grafted into him, receiving nourishment from him. Nourishment which results in good fruit being born. And they look some fantastic grapes, don't they? But it's hard, isn't it? Do any of you find it easy to abide in him, to stay connected and nourished to the vine? It's not easy. And we all struggle with it. And we all long to abide more closely so that we may bear more fruit for him. But I want you to think about a vine for a moment. Think about a vine. A vine needs to stay upright and with its branches spread out spaciously, just like that, so that it bears large bunches of grapes. But the vine can't do that on its own. Actually, if you look closely at this picture, you'll see there are some wires going across it. There's a structure which it's connected to, a trellis, which helps the branches hold firm and spread out to hold the fruit. And Comer, in his book, describes how if we are to remain in the vine of Jesus, that we need the help of a spiritual trellis, a supporting structure to help us grow and abide too, and live spaciously so that we can bear good fruits. And the term that's sometimes used for this is the term a rule of life or a way of life. In fact, the word here, ancient scholars say that the word here, rule, that's used for rule, comes from the ancient Latin word regulus, which is actually the word used for a trellis in a vine, some of them say. And a rule of life or a way of life can be thought of as this, a schedule or a set of practices and rhythms which helps us to order our lives around God and live in alignment with God for a lifetime. We've talked lots recently about spiritual rhythms of prayer, of scripture reading, of worship, and that's part of it. That's what countless people testify has sustained them through the ups and downs of life. And we're going to look at four particular practices over the next 4 weeks, which Coma highlights are some of the key practices if we're to live our lives in alignment with God and live the way of Jesus. And these four practices, which we're going to really learn to put into practice in our lives, are these: silence and solitude. That gift of taking time out to be still, to still our souls, to become in tune with the heartbeat of God again. That gift of taking time out to simply be with God and allow Him to minister to us and shape us and direct us. Sabbath, that gift of building a rhythm of rest into our DNA, into our lives. To take one day in seven out, as God has commanded us to recharge and refresh our soul so we can live differently in the rest of the week. Simplicity, the gift of simplifying the clutter of our lives so we can live more freely and more lightly. And slowing down, the gift of slowing down so that we can be more tuned in to the presence of God and be more fully present to ourselves and others. We're going to look at one at each of these practices, each of the next 4 weeks, and we'll unpack them more and unpack some really practical examples of how we can live that out. Because this book is a really practical book. And as I finish, I want to share two small steps which I've taken, partly as a result, or one of them particularly, specifically as a result of this, which have helped me to put some new structures into my own rule of life and helped me to live differently in the last few weeks. I mentioned a few weeks ago on the online contemporary service about I've got into a habit of worshipping God every morning while I ride my exercise bike. And you know, that has been profound for me. Yes, I do sing along, and I might look stupid, but no one else is in the room watching me. But I found as I've done it that my mind has been transformed. Thinking back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, which we were looking at when we preached on that a couple of weeks ago, I found that actually as I've done that, it's if you like, cleansed my mind and tuned me into the things of God. So that God's given me the words to preach, that God's given me the words to pray for others. God softened my heart more to His heart through doing that. And I think my family agree, that I'm different because of it. That's one thing. Secondly, also, a few weeks ago, I took an hour out of my day. I was practicing slowing down to just go up onto the hill and walk at a lunchtime. And I took this book with me on my Kindle as I was reading it there, and I read the chapter on slowing down. And one of the specific examples that he gave for that was that actually to turn the notifications off on your phone. So that you're not always grabbing your phone whenever an alert comes through, a text message or a WhatsApp message or a Twitter message or whatever. And there and then, on the top of the Malverns, I did that. I found out how to do it on my phone. I turned off every notification apart from text so that my wife can still get in touch with me. And it's made a real difference. I've broken some of the addiction that I think I had to my phone. It's made me more present to my family and to God and made me less distracted in life. and I found it really freeing. You know, they're just two examples, and there's so many more in the book. And I sense that these are really key lessons which God wants to teach us in this challenging season. Not just because then we'll live more contented, less stressed lives, but more than anything, because God longs for us to know his presence and his power and his intimacy and his love and his grace more fully in our lives. I'll finish with the words of John Mark Comer. They say so many people live without a sense of God's presence through the day. We talk about his absence as if it's the great question of theodicy. And I get that. I've been through the dark night of the soul. But could it be that with a few said exceptions, we're the ones who are absent, not God? We sit around sucked into our phones, our TV, our to-do lists, oblivious to the God who is around us, with us, in us, even more desirous than we are for relationship. Amen.
Lord, as we enter this new season of teaching, open this up to us into the realities of our own lives, that we may embrace this opportunity to rediscover an unhurried lifestyle that helps us journey with Jesus on a daily basis. To not get caught up and wrapped up with the ways of the world, but to be the kingdom people that you've designed us to be. And in so doing, we pray that we would rediscover life, rediscover hope, and rediscover the joy of each other and of you ultimately, Lord. That this season would draw us closer and more intimately into a relationship with you. And in so doing, we would glow more brightly in the world and draw those that don't yet know you back into relationship with you. Help us to live the life that you've called us into, Lord. Amen. And oh Lord, at this time we lift to you together the Powell family. In particular, this moment we name Josh and we speak life over him after a difficult 48 hours for him. We pray for the medical teams. We pray for the family. We pray for your presence to be right in the center of that situation, bringing comfort and peace, and to bring healing and life and a future over Josh and Penny. Amen. Lord, we pray for our nation again at this time of uncertainty and increasing lockdown. We pray, Lord Jesus, for the wisdom of our government. We pray for the wisdom of the advisors. And we pray that our government would be God-led. We pray for protection over our nation. We pray for protection over our community. We pray that no one would be lost as a result of the pandemic. And help us to know our role in this time as we continue to move forward. As a church and as neighbours, as families, as individuals, as workers, help us to continue to know what it means to be your people in the world at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And in a moment of quiet, we bring to you, Lord, the names of those dear to us. Those that know you, those that don't know you. Those that are well, those that are sick. Those in despair, and those in places of flourishing. Let's name those now. So, Lord, we lift all these prayers to you, knowing that you're sovereign over all things. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or conceive, by the power which is at work among us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all ages. Amen. So can I invite you to stand for the peace? So Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord always be with you." Thank you. Why don't you turn to one another and wave or share a sign of the peace to one another. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to give you thanks, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. And when we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you share your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all a perfect sacrifice for sin. So on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for you. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising glory, send your Holy Spirit on this bread and this wine, that it may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. So as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With the whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we break this bread and share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. So Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. And so let us draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. please take a seat. So let us say together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And so may God give to you and to all those that you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.